AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Our Democrat of the day represents most of Savage, I think all of Savage, actually, and parts of Burnsville. It's District 56A. Representative Jessica Hansen is joining us to talk about the last year, the upcoming year, and her campaign. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for the time. Is this your first day over in St. Paul today?
It was. Today was the big day. We kicked session off, and it was a full house, and we are ready to get to work.
Let's talk a little bit about, since this is going to be your re-election campaign, let's talk about the little bit last year first. The Minnesota House is obviously a little bit more friendly to the DFL than the Minnesota Senate. What were some of the things that you were happy to be able to work on last year that were able to get accomplished?
You know, some of the things that I saw as huge wins were our Health and Human Services package. We made record investments in education, continuing to look at our systemic issues, whether it be homelessness, other inequities that we're seeing in communities, and that we can continue to fight for working families. And those are the feet that we're going to continue to put forward in this session as well.
Is that, I mean, I was going to talk about this upcoming year here. It's this upcoming session as we are starting it off. Is that really kind of the top of your to-do list today?
Yeah, I mean, we really want to make sure that we're fighting for the economic security that everybody deserves and making sure that Minnesota is the best place in the country to live, work, raise a family, and that we're making sure everyone feels safe in their communities, has access to the resources they need after the pandemic has shined a light on so many things that we know have hurt families. We have to really look at what's happening on Main Street to make sure we can get this right up in St. Paul.
Well, what is in your thought is then on the approach on this? What would you like to, there some places are being very aggressive with guaranteed income levels and stuff like that. Others, obviously, the fight for a better minimum wage or just better wages overall, more benefits for the workers. What are some of the things that you actually want to, the tangible things that you want to try to accomplish?
Yeah, some of the big things, we have to talk about paid family and medical leave. I mean, that is clearly something that families are looking for and needing and are in support of. Earned sick and safe time, these are protections a lot of folks don't have. We've got frontline workers who have been out there on the front lines doing this work with, putting their lives at risk. And so making sure that we're reimbursing that and looking at the risks that they've taken. And then all the way down to like unemployment insurance and more, we have to continue to talk to folks who have been most impacted by this, because there's some people who did really well during the pandemic and more of us who didn't. Mm-hmm. And so that's got to be who we continue to fight for is, the people who are going to work every day and just want to see their kids have a good education and continue to live in what we feel like is the greatest state in the country.
You know, Representative, it's interesting you bring up the frontline worker stuff, because the Senate's been very clear that they don't want to, A, increase that money allotment or make it available for anyone outside of a handful of people in the medical industry. And bless the people in the medical industry. They are brilliant. They have been working really hard. But I remember in March of 2020, a lot of Republicans putting out signs saying, we love you frontline workers, such as the people who are driving buses, working in grocery stores. There was a lot, child care workers, teachers. There was a lot of people there that were asked to go in a pandemic when we didn't know that much about it, when we did not have a vaccine, and get on the front lines and help out. They deserve to get some relief, too. And the Republicans are in the Senate, at least, are adamant that, no, we're not going to help the people. They themselves demanded get back to work.
Right. And if they support frontline workers, I hope they act like it. I think that's the biggest piece here is, right, we're all called to represent the will of the people. And if the people are calling on us to support those folks and to do that, my dad's a frontline worker, my mom's a frontline worker, my daughter is a frontline worker. We have all had sacrifices out there when we don't know that all the places people are going are taking the necessary precautions. It's been a big question mark. We know more about it now than we have in the past, certainly, and we're learning to adapt and grow and whatnot. But that doesn't mean we just leave the folks behind who took the biggest risks in the beginning. I came from a very lower class growing up. My parents worked every single day really, really hard and still struggled to make ends meet. And I just don't think we should still continue to put families in those positions. There's folks who are living paycheck to paycheck and less, and they're out there risking, their health and their safety. We don't know the long-term effects, until COVID's been around for a lot longer than it has been. Mm-hmm. So there's just so many unknowns. My goal is always that we have to operate for what's the common good. What is best for everybody, so we can make sure we're making decisions that are in the interest of safety, and not, you know, rather be safe than sorry.
And you bring it because, I mean, you're a mom with two kids. You live in the suburbs. I mean, your perspective mm-hmm. on this is the absolute right person we should have in St. Paul having these discussions. And it is kind of remarkable that, you know, considering that, oh, yeah, you represent the people, especially the people the Republicans claim to want to try to help. But the reality is they're not putting the help out there that the people like yourself, like your constituents need. They just do not want to help them outside of tax breaks for a handful of wealthy.
And I hope that this session we can have those hard conversations and do what Minnesotans deserve, because that's what we were all elected to do. We were elected to serve the people that sent us there and serve their best interests and be a responsible government. And that's what I'm always fighting for, is finding the things that we agree on to make sure we can get things done, because Minnesotans deserve that more than anything else.
I'm saying this, not you. That's why the DFL is there. Anyway, I love Speaker Hortman. I love Governor Walz. I love the Republicans. I love the fact that the Democrats basically in the House are able to stifle this very aggressive far right agenda from the Republicans. And I do love the Senate DFLers, but it is sometimes just mind numbing what you have to run up against. I mean, I remember in the Senate last year. Now I know you're the House, but I know the Senate last year. They were just trying to get them to say, yeah, let's not have white supremacists cops, and the Republicans are like, no, we're going to have those. Right. And you're like, really? Right. This is where you people are still at?
And blatant shows of white supremacy on the floor. You know, we have to acknowledge some of those things that are happening, and I think that that's one reason why we need to keep at the forefront of our work the idea that there have been a lot of wrongs done, and we can do better going forward, and we just have to, you know, be ready to do that. So we're going to continue to fight for, you know, different equity platforms, and, you know, areas where we're seeing people struggle the most, and I hope that Minnesotans continue to talk to their legislators, fill them in on what they want. We work for them, and it's up to them to hold us accountable for those things. And so I hope everyone is engaged this year. We say every election is the election of our lives for a reason, because this is what happens for the next 10 years after redistricting here. That'll be your representative, and it's important to have good relationships and to hold them accountable for what you need.
Let's talk about some of the committees you're on really quick. Higher education, you know, obviously, it's interesting. I've got a son who's at the U. And it is interesting. We this is not an issue that's getting a lot of traction. We talk about it financially and with the budgets and stuff. Is there anything particular the House Higher Education and Finance Policy Committee is going to be looking at in regards to higher education this upcoming cycle?
Yeah, I mean, continuing to make sure we're supporting all paths to higher education, whether that be a formal 4-year private private universities, make sure grants are there. Otherwise, it's also talking about the trades and making sure that folks have pathways into trade programs as well. I, in particular, I do a lot of work around mental health work, and so making sure we're bolstering up our workforce to continue to have a great mental health crisis response team in this state, and other licensed mental health practitioners, you know, finding ways to help some of the folks who want to go into that workforce. It's a hard career, but we definitely need a lot more of those folks in the field. And there's going to be a lot of conversations about what types of jobs we need more of right now. And you will find me on the side of fighting to make sure our communities get the resources they're asking for, which is mental health support. It's support, you know, with wraparound services and other things like that. And so making sure that our higher education process kind of reflects that workforce we're hoping to create. And also remembering that, you know, knowledge is power, and making sure we're empowering our kids to have opportunities to seek education, or folks that maybe didn't go to college. I did not go to college right after high school. I went when I was 25 with two young kids, and I'm a first-generation college graduate. And so it's really important to me that we protect the access to an affordable education, because no one should come out of college with the kind of debt that I had to leave with.
Amen.
Because it wasn't affordable for me. It wasn't affordable for my family. That wasn't a pathway. Loans and grants were my option. And I got a great education, and I'm grateful that I did that. But it's very heavy to have $800 a month, you know, due for student loans once this, you know, what the feds figure out what they're doing.
You are, I believe, our first Democrat of the day that serves on any, either House or Senate, the Ag Committee, the Agricultural Finance and Policy Committee. I mean, obviously, you know, it's kind of one of those things. We can't, you know, with the divisiveness in our country today and in our state, you know, it is generally rural areas that are very Republican. This is something that affects them. But I've always said this, the ag policy that we put forward, that's the foundation. The ag is the foundation of an economy in this state. And we have to make sure we have good policies. Are there some things that the House Ag Committee is looking at coming for this upcoming session?
Yeah, I mean, we have to continue to, you know, look at soil health as an ag issue. I think that's going to be a continued conversation I have because we have to reinvest in our soil just like we reinvest in a lot of other things. And so continuing to have those important conversations is something I'm tuning into. I think also supporting, you know, our emerging farmers. We have an emerging farmers working group, which we appropriated some money to last year to make some recommendations. They're doing amazing work, so I'm very excited to continue to hear from them. And we have some new industries. I think everybody who knows me knows that I talk a lot about cannabis and a lot about kind of hemp and what that can do for new industry and new jobs and new revenue streams for the state. And so continuing to look at those options as well. And I think the other big thing I'm going to be watching is we know that hunger has become more of an issue. We lost decades of work in the fight against hunger through the COVID-19 pandemic, and we still continue to fight that. And so continuing to find the gaps in that food sourcing, making sure our food banks are well supported, and that we're raising the awareness that there are too many Minnesotans who are still hungry, and that is not where I think we all agree we should be as a state, is that we should be able to tackle hunger and make sure everyone's got access to a good meal, especially the kids who are, you know, most disproportionately impacted by that.
You brought up cannabis. I'm going to ask you here really quick. I mean, do you feel as if we can get legalized cannabis, legalized marijuana in the state of Minnesota? Already Miller in the Senate has said that's a no-go, that his caucus is 100% against it.
You know, before I got elected, I was the executive director of an organization. We organized about 10,000 Minnesotans from all sorts of political ideologies and backgrounds. And from what I say to that is, again, our job is to represent the will of the people.
Yes.
Minnesotans want this. You can go into any comment section on any Care 11 article or any other news, you know, big news article that's covering, you know, that the governor put this in his budget, so on and so forth. The comment sections are very indicative of what Minnesotans are looking for. You know, when Minnesotans are torn on something, you'll see that in our comment sections on, you know, different places. On this issue, Minnesotans are united. They would like to see an end to prohibition. One, because it's a prolific racist system that is continuing to be very alive and well that we can and should do something about. And also because it is a healing plant with no lethal dose that Minnesotans would like to have safe, responsible, legal access to. We have revenue capacity. We have, you know, new businesses that can come here, and we're missing out. You know, the rest of the country is shifting on this, and we are not. And so I hope that the Senate Republicans continue to listen to constituents. I understand where they're at with, you know, deciding if it's a platform issue, but I encourage them to talk to their voters, because I have talked to their voters, and from what I've heard, they are looking for this. There is a fear argument, and we don't know what will happen, and I understand that. That's fair. Let's have that conversation, though, and let's see what they found in other states, rather than just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because this is going to be a big deal going forward. We have two major parties that got major party status over an issue campaign. To continue to say it is not a key issue for Minnesota voters, I think is missing the point in my opinion.
It passed on a ballot initiative in South Dakota before the Republicans tried to shut it down over there. You know, it's not exactly, you know, as you say. I mean, this is not a blue or red district thing. This is, people want this,
no.
And the Republicans are basically the ones that are standing in the way. So let me talk about your district specifically, 56A. Like I said, just south of the river, there's Savage, Burnsville. What is one issue you want to champion this upcoming cycle for your district specifically?
You know, we've got one of the most the busiest highways here from the ports of Savage, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done to continue to make sure that those intersections are safe and efficient for us to continue to get goods out to Minnesotans, and for us to continue to address some of the congestion that's on that corridor and some of the pollution that goes along with it.
Amen.
And so that's going to be some big issues to work on those. You know, my local school district is looking to, you know, sell a property that's really important to them. So I'm really pushing for that. We're also going to continue to work on, you know, we have several landfills right across the street from my district, which my community is directly impacted by, that, you know, the entire state has been using since the 70s, so continuing to look at that. We have a moratorium on a rail line down here called the Dam Patch Rail Line that is an old moratorium that's in place that prohibits us from studying it or investing any money there. So I'm seeking to overturn that this year so we can continue to advance and breathe some life back into that rail line again. And so folks could maybe one day take a train from down here south of the river all the way up to the cities as well and back and forth and bring folks here too. But other than that, you know, my community is looking for a responsible government that does what's best for the people. And so as the issues come up, that's where my alliances are always going to land, making sure I'm fighting for the youth in my district who have been having extreme challenges in schools with a variety of issues, and then continuing to support, you know, our local government staff who are just working so, so hard with fewer and fewer resources, and so continuing to help them really get a leg up, if you will, from being down for so long from the pandemic. You know, some of these folks who've been just working, you know, day in and day out and need more staff, you know, those are some of the programs we want to make sure we invest in.
We have, of course, Jess Hansen here, once again, District 56A. It's one of those districts where it's not out of line that a Republican could win this district. We also have redistricting come up. We've got to make sure we hold this seat. 56A, we need to stay with the DFL, stay with Jess Hansen. It's Jess Hansen, O-N, for everyone out there, forhouse.com. Jess Hansen, forhouse.com. That's where they can find out the information on how they can donate and volunteer, correct?
Yep, and that's where you learn about what does it mean to live in a world where politics is how we care about each other. That's the kind of campaign I run. That's the kind of politician I am, is really making sure we're community-centered and that I'm amplifying the voices of folks who need things to get done in St. Paul. So I'm happy to be out there speaking the truth and doing what I can to fight for the communities that, you know, maybe haven't had a voice, you know, as loud there before. We want to really embody that and bring people into the campaign. So if you're looking to get involved, please volunteer. Lots of opportunities for that. We have a clue on who our competitor will be as well, so I think that's, you know, looking forward to a good race this year and really knocking every single door. So we'll need lots of door knockers this year, too.
And also, I should mention, your caucus tomorrow is going to be, it's going to be remote for safety reasons, right?
Yes, the all of our committee hearings will continue to be remote. There are strict safety protocols being taken on the floor with masking as well. I myself am vaxxed and boosted, so I am ready to go and feeling, you know, like my leadership is taking the right path on this to keep us as safe as possible so we can do the people's work.
All right. If you would like more information on the caucus, you can find it at her website as well. Jess Hansen, JessHansone, forhouse.com. That's where you'll find all the information. Help out. Donate, volunteer if you can. And reminder, if you might not be in her district, but if you got a caucus tomorrow, find out what you're going to be heading into tomorrow. We talked with Steve Simon on Friday about that. Representative, all my best this cycle. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time today. And all my best to you as you go through 2022 here.
Yes, and thank you for all you do. Keep spreading the word and doing the good work. We love you.
Oh, thank you very much. Representative Jess Hansen, kind enough to join us today. Democrat of the day. We'll spotlight that for sure. We'll take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the show when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.